Hey, everybody. This is Adam. You're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW. As usual, if you want to get a hold of us at any point, you can do that through my website, which is adamseward.com. And if you want to call in at any point today, you can at 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. So, as usual, join here with Paul DeFuria. How are you?
Hi, Adam. I'm great. It's
a pretty nice day today. The sun's setting out the window here, and we're about five stories up in Factoria, for those of you who don't know where we are in Washington. And so we face directly west, so it's a beautiful view of the sunset.
You're looking all bronzed and healthy.
Yeah, well, many of you know that I've just, come back from what was really a retreat that involved also a lot
sitting on the beach.
A lot of bronzing, yeah.
And Mai Tais.
I would sit there all day just about and, look out over the ocean, and I would let my, consciousness just sort of mingle, with everything, with the ocean, and then with the horizon line and the sun and the beat, the sand, and just people just being, and there were a lot of surfers too out in front of us. And what I noticed, I told you, Paul, I don't have many memories from the trip because I spent probably, 90% of my waking hours just in a state of meditation. Maybe you could say nature mysticism, in the sense that it was, that merging with the scene. But it was really beautiful, really wonderful. And already being back, I can feel a difference, a calmness.
That's great. Yeah, I need to get to Hawaii.
Sounds
fun.
I was thinking maybe of staying. So, and it's funny, they say that the island has to call you. That's how you end up there. So.
Okay. I think I've been called. Need to answer this time.
So today we're talking about, we're continuing our discussion of what is the awakened mind, how is it accessed, and there's an aspect of that that we haven't touched on much, which is the evolutionary aspect of that. And some refer to this as the conscious evolution that is an aspect of the awakening process. And one person who talks about this is a woman by the name of Barbara Marx Hubbard. So we're going to be talking about her a bit today. We're also going to be looking into meditation. Many people say that meditation is one of the things that you can do to accelerate your evolution or to participate in your evolution. I think that's an interesting question is why, why does that help? And how does that fit into that, what you could call a repertoire of practice? So what is conscious evolution? Well, the way I understand it, and Paul, you can help me out, but the way I understand it is that it's a way that we are participating consciously in the natural unfolding process of our own being. So it's like for the first time, many say, on this planet, we are aware of our growth, aware of our development, aware of our evolution in a way that allows us to actually participate in that and sort of nurture that unfolding process.
Yeah, that's, in theoretical circles, they call it structuralism. It's the idea of a developmental process that you're experiencing. And the moment that you become aware that you're actually developing is a huge moment where you realize you're actually maturing, you're evolving as a person.
Yeah.
So the idea is the moment you become conscious of it and participate willingly in it, then it supercharges it. And that can be kind of an unsettling moment or period of time. Things can become pretty chaotic. And you've probably had experience of this, friends, where whole life shifts, everything changes. They give up things that they'd, right? You know what I'm talking about? It sometimes can be messy, right? Can be really a challenging time for people, but it's a time of real awakening because they begin to get a taste of what life can offer. And so they have to really, get into it to see what's there for them.
I was reading, when I was looking on Barbara Marx Hubbard's website, she's talking about crisis and evolution and those two things sort of coexisting. And so, you know, she talks about our planet being in somewhat of a state of crisis. And it sounds like that's part of what you're pointing to as well, Paul.
Well, I was talking more about just the personal crisis that comes when, as a function of this. But, you know, it could also be said that, you know, we can all just, if you're just conscious at all, you can see what's going on the planet. And things that have been going for a long time are starting to come apart. There's, you know, a financial crisis that's happening, and there's an ecological crisis that's happening. There's a cultural divide that really seems to be in just on fire right now, you know? Mm.
This sound like it? I saw this. Some of you may know A Course in Miracles Manual for Teachers. The Facebook page is a page that I sponsor and that, you know, posts things. And if you like it, you'll receive the post and stuff. But one of the things it said was, there was a quote, and it said, someone wrote under it, said, A Course in Miracles is New Age, not Christianity. Does it have anything to do with that?
Yeah, sure. There's an edge, right? People are getting upset with one another, and they're bumping against these boundaries that used to be respected. In politics, for example, you know, Michelle Bachmann went on, this is an example I'd give, she went on Jimmy Fallon. And do you know the story? Mm-mm. The band played the lead-in song. You know, she played, you know, have music when she comes on. I can't repeat the name of the song, but it basically was a profane song about being a lying, you know what, right? Uh-huh, that's uh-huh. What the name of the song was. So NBC had to apologize, and it was really kind of a kerfuffle around it. At the same time, Michelle Obama was in NASCAR, and, you know, they waved the flag, right? And she got booed. Right. So you get the idea that these cultural there's a culture war going on, and we can't even cross the street. You know, it's just edgy. And there's a class war, as it were. You know, I don't know how real it is, but it's there in the conversation. People are really upset about the difference in money and the, you know, divide and equity that's going on and the big stratification in wealth. And all of this stuff's coming to a head. And it doesn't seem to be an accident. There are wars and cultural strifes and genocide and terrorism, all this stuff, and in the context of the fact that we're killing our planet and poisoning the atmosphere. And it used to be that, that was seemed way off. Like, now it seems more immediate. Like Mother Earth is saying, you guys maybe, you know, might want to wake up right now before it's too late. It's coming to a head, right?
Sure. So maybe the part of what the awakening experience that's happening in humans is pointing to is a shift that's taking place at a necessary time in order to save our planet.
Or we're creating the conditions necessary for us to wake up, because, you know, that whole, most people attribute this comment to Einstein, but he said that, you know, the level of consciousness that we, in order to solve the problem can't be done at the same level of consciousness that created it. And, you know, that's basically what's happening, is it gets so bad. And these people do this in their love lives or businesses. They create such a mess that they can't stay in the same place. They have to shift it. They wait, right? It creates so much suffering that you go, okay, we need to hit the reset button, really go in deep and change it.
Yeah.
You know, because if things are going great, you know, why change anything? You know?
It's a good point. And I've heard people say that, you know, pain is really how we evolve too. And also part of what prevents us from evolving in the sense that we aren't willing to experience the natural, you know, pain that comes with an egg cracking or with, a flower unfolding or, you know, the petals breaking or busting open, et cetera. But that's the picture that I'm getting, really, of what conscious evolution looks like and what people are talking about when they refer to this particular aspect of awakening is like flowers who have suddenly become aware of their unfolding process. And in addition, and quite naturally, we're like busy bees right now creating ways to facilitate this process, because it seems like intuitively we get that it's the way that we, you know, want to be moving.
So. That's excellent. Well, we actually have talked about this in past shows, You know, we've split this moment, one aspect of the moment, into what we've called the masculine and the feminine. So one aspect of our experience of the moment is that it's perfect and that we're aware of it, and it's just that we're kind of in a sense state of being. But then there's another aspect of us, and more feminine, which is the state of becoming, and we're actually becoming, right? Things are changing and shifting and evolving, right? So we're going to talk about the play of masculine and feminine as we talk about the evolution of things.
Well, it's, you know, what we're becoming is aware of our being and the depths and the layers of it. So we got more to talk about. I mean, we just barely, you know, touched the surface of this concept of conscious evolution. We're going to go to our first break. Stay with us. You're listening to Awaken Life. KKNW. Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And I'm Rick Seward.
And together we have partnered to bring you Awakened Life as part of our commitment to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. That's also why we decided to create the Awakening Foundation. Well, what's the Awakening Foundation? The Awakening Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's designed to help facilitate the evolution of consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awaken Media. We'd love to connect with you. For more information on the Awakening Foundation, go to adamseward.com. If you'd like to find out more or to talk with us about how you can support the mission, fill out the contact form and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We look forward to connecting with you.
Call the Oprah of Radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Adam. You're listening to Awaken Life. And today we're talking about, we're still talking about, what does it really mean to wake up? What is the awakened mind? How is it accessed? And today, specifically, we're talking about this idea of conscious evolution. And we're unpacking it a bit because it's a term that is new. It's really arisen with the shift in consciousness that's taking place currently on our planet that we talk about. You can call it the shift or the quickening, or there's a number of different ways that it's referred to. But part of what, you know, I got an email recently and someone asked me a question. They said, you know, Adam, why is meditation so important? I mean, you talk about people wanting to learn more about spirituality, wanting to grow. And so why is meditation so important? Why does it help? I mean, you're just sitting there. And so there's a few points that I came up with in response to this question. And if you want to read the whole thing, you can find that on my blog at adamseward.com. But my sense is that being itself has this tendency toward unfolding. Does that make, you know what I mean by that, Paul?
Yeah, sure do.
So being itself has this tendency toward unfolding. It's like it's pre-programmed to do that, right? And so meditation, one way that meditation's talked about is as just being. So in just being or just sitting, that's the Zazen practice, you're actually just allowing that natural aspect of you that's already pushing, you know, towards the stars, in a sense, to unfold. And then in addition to that, I told them that, you know, meditation is also about noticing what's happening moment by moment. And the more that we do this, the more that we become aware of how we unfold. We see that unfolding process. It's like if you wanted to understand how a flower unfolded, you just watch it and watch it and watch it. And that's what meditation is, right? It's sitting with bare attention and just watching this unfolding process and then learning how to participate. And I think that's part of where meditation comes in too. You can tell that as you notice this process, how it is that you can get involved, where the spaces are that you could enter in and actually be a conscious participant in that evolutionary unfolding process. And then the third thing that I gave him was that letting go opens the conduit. And meditation, again, in many ways, is about relaxing the contraction that is our small self or the ego so that we can flow more in harmony with life and in better alignment with that evolutionary principle. So if you're listening, hopefully that was, you know, helpful answer to your question. Thanks for the question. And again, yeah. Anyone out there who has any questions about what we're talking about, I encourage you to send them in to adamseward.com. You can just go to adamseward.com, fill out put the question into the contact form there. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, one of the guys we're going to have on the show, one of our heroes, Jumpo Kelly, is going to be on.
Yep. January 23rd.
Oh,
confirmed.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Okay. Well, one of the things he talks about is meditation, why bother, mm-hmm. right? And this is something, you know, that goes to why do it? Because it takes, you know, takes time and energy, and it's challenging for a lot of people just to sit. But one of the things that people who study the way you mature, the way you people evolve through consciousness, is that it happens in stages. Just like a plant has certain stages of growth, right? So does your mind. And, your awareness does the same thing. So what meditation does is supercharges that. Mm-hmm. It speeds it. It's a form of accelerated transformation. So that's an aspect of it that's worth speaking about. And another piece of it is just that in the past, in the wisdom traditions that relied on meditation, it was all about your own awakening, right? You woke up, you know, you meditated so you'd become enlightened. But now we don't really have the time for that. And given the crisis, you know, this kind of inflection point we're moving toward, all the teachers seem to be saying the same thing, which is we need to link arms. So the evolutionary consciousness is the we awakening, not the I. It's the we together, right? So it happens. So we all need to forge these alliances. And
do you think that the best thing that a person can do to contribute to the we, though, is to really become awakened first.
Absolutely.
Themselves, yeah.
So that's where your own personal practice and your own personal transformation isn't selfish at all. It's actually, you know, Mahayana tradition. They really feel, what they speak to is the energetics of it. And you know, we talk about transmission of a teacher, right? Well, every person is giving out a transmission. And so if you spend your time paying attention to how you pay attention, quiet your mind, and you begin to, you know, tap into this deeper, more true aspect of yourself and live it, that's affecting everybody around you, right? They're having this profound effect on all of us. And that kind of, that energy is building. And the idea is, a lot of people are saying we're getting to this point where it's going to, you know, it's going to be a tidal wave, right? It's a trickle, and then it becomes a torrent.
Some people refer to it as like the you know, a magic percentage
a tipping point. Malcolm, that book by.
Yeah, there's a certain number where once
that's
you
right,
get
10%
there,
is the idea. Mm-hmm. Once you get to a certain level, then it all happens, right? And you know, like the Renaissance was 100 people, or then it became 300 people, and then it became 10% of the population, and then it just the dam bust.
This quote here from Barbara Marks Hubbard, I think, helps to shed light on it. She says, "It has become obvious that a creative minority of humanity is undergoing a profound inner mutation or transformation. Evolutionary ideas are not only serving to make sense of this change, but also acting to catalyze the potential within us to transform." So I think what she's saying is that evolutionary ideas are helping to make sense of it. So, you know, you and I, Paul, we can sit here today and talk about it in terms that at least make sense to us, hopefully the listeners. And also it catalyzes the potential within us to transform or to evolve in the sense that, you know, I look at my own life in how it's changed over the last year. And, you know, I'm 30 years old, and for many years I met, you know, my meditative life was, you know, about an hour a day thing. And now it feels like it's more of like a 3 to 6 hour a day activity. And not to mention the karma yoga of just, you know, having your life be your meditation. And, you know, I like to use the words of Thomas, our good friend, you know, let your life be your meditation. But it's catalyzed, the awareness of it is catalyzed in me, just this desire to spend my time doing whatever it is that feels like it has the most potential to help my spirit unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's evolution happening on a gross physical level. So these bodies that we're in are evolving and changing and so on. We see that in our brains, but there's also a soul evolution, it feels like, that's taking place, or the evolution of the self, capital S self, that's happening, where, you know, each one of us is sort of like a point of consciousness in the universe. And, you know, each of us actually has many points, because, you know, we have 2 eyes, 10 fingers, a mouth, etc. So there's lots of different ways that we're conscious, in the sense that we're sentient, we're sensing continuously. But, you know, as each piece of the universe, which is what you are, which is what I am, as each piece of the universe continues to evolve, it realizes that it actually has the totality of the cosmos within it. And, you know, what we come to understand now is that that's within our heart. The infinite center of our heart.
Adam, when did you get started doing meditating? Is it just like a practice?
Well, you know, I had my awakening experience in the year 2000, November. And what became really clear right after that was that the way to continue to access that state, or to hold that awakening, you know, you can't really hold it, but the way to ground it, embody it, was to meditate. And I had some help. Deepak Chopra's book, 7 Spiritual Laws of Success, you know, he talks about being in that book in a way that I feel is really accessible, really easy to understand, and just makes sense, clear cut. And that was actually in high school, was the first time that I tried it. But then it was after that awakening, which was in a sense preparing me for that awakening experience so that I could then, you know, ground it.
Well, what brought about the awakening experience?
Well,
so a lot of people will have it as a result of after a long bit of practice meditating and quieting the mind and all that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I, my entire life, I feel like was preparing me for that moment in a sense. Looking back now, I can see the wakefulness that was already there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recognized in me and others, you know, that had talked to me, some of them that were spiritual masters of their own type, you know, were able to recognize that there was some, you know, an old soul in me, you could say. But yeah, so it felt like my whole life was leading to that. However, what made room for it was, so when I was in high school, I was a jock. Like my identity was through sports. It was through, you know, success athletically. Cause I, you know, I had some gift in that I was fast and so on. I got a lot of letters from colleges to play football and stuff, but I didn't really have an interest. I just wasn't interested in it. I was more too much doing, not enough being for me, frankly. You know, 3 hour, just, you know, you're practicing all the time. I had a couple concussions in high school too. And so that
Maybe that did it. You had to hit too hard on the head.
I know how to access the awakened mind.
Hit it and just smash it into somebody. Yeah.
But I,
that's funny.
But I knew I didn't want to go to college to play football. But I kind of got caught up in that. It was like the town I was from was sort of invested in their athletes going on and making a name for the town. And so I kind of bought into that. And so when I did finally go to college and not to play football or to play a sport, there was a death of sorts, you know, there was a loss of that identity, and also the loss of whatever identity I had formed, you know, in high school growing up from that town, because I was around completely new people. And I actually chose to surround myself with people I didn't know when I got to college. But it was in that freshman year of college in November, 11 years ago, that I popped. And
all right, I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, well, maybe when we come back from break,
let's
we
do
can,
that.
Can
That's interesting.
That.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we're talking about awakening. We're talking about conscious evolution. We're going to continue this discussion when we get back. You're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio.
Kidzen Hot Yoga of Bellevue is a brand new hot yoga studio in Bellevue, Washington. Come join a beautiful yoga community and become part of something greater than yourself. Hot yoga has so many tremendous benefits, which include allowing your muscles to stretch deeper than they would at room temperature, while detoxifying your body and working out on a micro and macro level. If you have aches and pains or are just searching for an active and meditative workout, hot yoga is for you. Temperatures range from 98 to 105 degrees and postures focus on strength, endurance, and balance, while simultaneously working your organs, nervous system, and glands. This is a comprehensive workout, and more importantly, it's an opportunity to go deeper within yourself and heal your mind and body from the inside out. More info at GetZenYoga.com. That's GetZenYoga.com.
Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And I'm Rick Seward.
And together we have partnered to bring you Awakened Life as part of our commitment to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. That's also why we decided to create the Awakening Foundation. Well, what's the Awakening Foundation? The Awakening Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's designed to help facilitate the evolution of consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awakened Media. We'd love to connect with you. For more information on the Awakening Foundation, go to adamseward.com. If you'd like to find out more or to talk with us about how you can support the mission, fill out the contact form and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We look forward to connecting with you.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Adam here with Paul. And we're talking today about conscious evolution. What does that mean for our planet? What does that mean for us individually? And what does that mean, you know, in terms of community? What is conscious evolution as an aspect of the awakened mind or the awakening process? And how's it done? So,
well, one could say the beginning for any person is that pop through moment. So I'm interested to hear more about your pop through, where it begins. We become aware of your own awakening. And
sure. Yeah, well, you know, for me that night was, interestingly, it was a conversation that took place. And the person I was talking to was just embodying a depth of consciousness that was mirrored, I think, in many ways in myself. Clark was his name. I'm very grateful to him for the role he played that night.
Clark, did you say?
Yeah, Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he pointed it out. You know, I mean, in simplest terms, he pointed it all out to me. And in a moment I saw who I really was.
Well, one of the things about pointing out instructions that's so valuable is that what they're saying is remarkably simple.
Yes.
But it's not obvious until someone can point it out for you. And It sounds like Clark was that guy for you.
Well, yeah. And it was interesting, too, because, you know, he and I hadn't had much of a relationship before or after that. It wasn't like this was someone I, you know, considered a teacher or a lifelong mentor necessarily. But he was the one who showed up at that perfect time, right when I was ready, I think. And so...
Well, that's one of the things. Another way of looking at it in terms of your own maturation is like being on a ladder. And once in a while, you'll take a step up on the ladder and all of a sudden you can see territory that you couldn't see before. But what comes with that is the ability to reach down and pull somebody up who's at the lower rung and, you know, ready for that next hop. At the same time, you reach up and someone will be grabbing your hand and pulling you up. So that's how it works, right?
Well, and I've seen that happen countless times, you know, since that moment. People who have been led into the same experience maybe through different means, but you know,
isn't that what this conscious evolutionary push is all about? Is that we're going to do it together this time around, as opposed to just individually, kind of, or not? I mean, you tell me what you think about it.
Well, look at us. I mean, here we are. We're talking about it, you know, and we share it. It's strengthened through reflection. So, you know, each person, my experience is each person is going to their own depth individually through their practice or their path or whatever devotion. You know, each one of us is kind of different, but each one of us sort of going into our own depths. And as we interact with other people, we take them with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is that, you know, there's this general tendency or trajectory toward it, you know, toward deeper, wider, higher. And so it's almost as if it's already written into our DNA to do that for each other. And I think that's part of what, I mean, in a sense, why are we even sitting here having this conversation? Why does this show even exist?
Yeah.
It's to help, you know, the we, really, you and I and the listeners and, you know, people that we've interacted with and interviewed to make that journey together.
Well, there's a truth that one comes to at a certain point. You know, you come to it on your own, and that's really important to have sort of what they call a spiritual autonomy. In other words, everyone can tell you it, but when you know it as your own, you know, deep in your like cells,
yeah,
then it's yours. But what's also cool is when that truth is recognized and becomes obvious between us, you know, we're right. So there's like this us, and it can be a big group, and all of a sudden what's true becomes so obvious. That's such a mystery, but that's, you know, that's the juicy piece. Because in that space, you know, all the striving, all the trying to compare ourselves, all the struggle and the suffering just falls away. That's the possibility of human interaction. When you talk about evolution in Darwinian sense, you know, it was all a function of environment, right? This is his big insight.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen on one person had it, one little thing. It was a mutation that was in the context of this interrelated environment spread, right? And the same thing is true with us. Your awakening or your insights or your freedom is contagious. You know, I'm going to experience it and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So if we put our attention on, you know, opening up the higher aspects of ourselves, that becomes a gift for everyone else.
For everyone, for the entire universe.
And
it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
You know, it happens instantly that offering is made. You know, that's so much of my daily practice is about just offering love, you know.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me is there's no training for how to control the mind. Or for this kind of thing isn't just sort of like standard practice. I think it will be eventually, but how you pay attention to how you pay attention,
mm-hmm.
you know, awareness training isn't something that's taught to kids. For example, they just give them, like, if they get too antsy, they give them drugs, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, there's widespread ADHD, all that kind of stuff. But the people's minds are just jumping everywhere. There are gaps in their consciousness. They zone out, they space out, right? They can't keep an idea going for any kind of time before it switches. And so what happens with some, like what obviously happened with you, is when you popped out, then you begin to meditate in a way to sort of hold it and ground it, because it's a way to train your mind,
mm-hmm.
discipline the mind from being like a wild animal and storming all over the place.
Yeah. Well, and then there's also subtle level practices too that, you know, involve cultivating light, you know, inner light. And
well, did you find that the meditation helped kind of quiet your mind so it wouldn't spin?
That's how it works. Yeah. That's how it works. That's why it always starts with that. It starts with I think it's true for most people. I mean, you start with the concentration practice and then the witnessing, the awareness practice, and then you start to tune into, you know, the subtle body. And people refer to that as the theater. You know, it's sort of the light show, which is honestly something that I, you don't want to get stuck there, and they say that you can, but it's
cool. It's beautiful.
Well, I was thinking, I was kind of enjoying it today and before the show, and it occurred to me that, you know, our entire life is a subtle light show. You know, the real world is a just another level of the subtle. We call it the gross because, you know, we're here the physical, but it's all subtle.
Yeah, that's right. It's light and it's moving. And the thing is, if you make it too real, take it too seriously, then it becomes too solid. Then you start grasping for it. That's the game, is to say in the moment, so that that the moment is fresh, right? So it's what we're talking about is a way of being present in the world where things are fresh, fresh, fresh. They stay that way.
That's exactly right. You know, waking up and showing up.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality of showing the way that awakening is experienced on a daily in your daily life and on a daily basis is through, just like you said, that ever new, ever fresh, ever wondrous experience of the present moment, moment by moment.
Into the Tibetan tradition, they call it shine concentration, and shi means stay. Okay, so what they're trying to do is create a fit mind, what they call a fit mind, which is just making your mind sit like a collie. Sit. You know, you stay without it spinning and moving to the next thing. Because this is, we talked about dukkha last week. Dukkha is, you know, the term which it's translated as to mean suffering. But what it really means is your mind wants to go to what it wants and wants to avoid the thing it doesn't want. Mm. Right? And so that kind of striving spins your mind. And if you get in this culture, the media, and, you know, what we inherit from in our DNA and everything, our language is even this way. It creates duality, makes your mind spin in circles. I mean, it's the holiday season. We're supposed to be, you know, enjoying. It's a celebration. Most people, it's the worst part of the year for them. The highest levels of suicide, depression, all the rest of it. Mm. Most people aren't. They're like, too much to do. This is too stressful. This is an unpleasant experience, right?
Sure. A lot of striving.
This is the mind, right? It's you know, as soon as it moves for the next thing, it wants to avoid the next thing. So the idea with the meditation is you can sit, relax, get present again, let the mind settle, right?
And with that, let the, you know, basic goodness of what is unfold, you know, in front of you.
Yes, and the evolutionary impulse is arising out of this still place in you. That's quiet, and the insights all come from that. And so if you pay attention to your mind, most of the mind is just negative stream of thoughts. And that's why, you know, a big piece of practice is to try to do what they call a preliminary practice. But in the West, what it is essentially psychotherapy. The preliminary practice in the East is get your mind so that it won't be like a wild animal. Mm-hmm. Because if you can train an animal, it can be incredibly practical and do lots of things. If it's wild, it just storms around, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Exactly. So the idea then is with psychotherapy, you can sort of unravel this terrible story that you're telling about your past so that you can just get present and just let that go. Because you begin, you know what I'm saying? So this is a big piece of it.
Well, like we talked about last week, you know, awakening, an aspect of it, the Buddha talked about, you could say, what is the end of suffering. It's not the end of pain, and we talked about that, but it's the end of suffering. And so part of awakening is really being clear about the ways in which we're suffering, or the ways that we're resisting, the ways that we're not in alignment with life, and stopping it.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a few friends who started seeing a counselor, and what they reported is it's not feeling good. What would you say about that? They say, when I leave, I don't feel better, and it's not,
Well, you know, in grad school, I had a professor say that people don't come to you to feel better. They come to you to feel worse. And I know what he meant. I know what he meant. He meant, you know, they come to you to help you, to point them, you know, into the places that they're not willing to look to find the treasure to reveal the light, really, that's, you know, hidden in those places, which ultimately does make you feel better. But psychotherapy is, you know, in some ways, it's about chipping away the ice that has formed or crystallized around some of your unpacked psychological baggage. And so it can be painful. Sometimes things do get worse before they get better, but it's all necessary.
Yeah, and the key about that is, when you get on a meditation mat, then your mind can go off to the races. Mm. And when you do a counseling, you know, you do go, you know, you examine your own mind and your own old stories and all that kind of thing. Do shadow work, all the rest of it. It can free your mind up so that when you actually, you know, sit and you can enjoy the experience of it and the insights that flow from it without being hijacked by your past stories, right?
Right.
That's what I'm getting to, so.
Right. Well, that's exactly.
Encourage everybody to do it.
That's exactly it, yeah. And, yeah, we'll talk more about it when we get back, yeah. Everybody, you're listening to Awaken Life. We're going to go to our last break. Stay with us. We're going to continue this discussion.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
Listen to the Marie Manucherry Show, where energy and medicine meet every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. It's intelligent and provocative radio. Tuesdays is boot camp for the soul to help you soar. Thursdays, Marie interviews guests from an incredibly talented lineup. To learn more about Marie and her radio show, visit energyintuitive.com or connect with her on Facebook and Twitter. That's the Marie Manucherry Show, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Oh, I love that guy. His voice is so good. We got to get him on the show.
Awaken Life.
Don't leave home without it. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about conscious evolution as an aspect of the awakening process that's happening on our planet in groups of we's and ones and really everywhere you look. And we've been talking about, again, how to participate in that and, you know, meditation being one of those ways that we've found through research and also just personal experience. And it's what the great traditions of the world have told us, that meditation, prayer, whatever, you know, whatever it is like a technology for helping to accelerate this unfolding process. And, you know, some people would say, like Eckhart Tolle, say, all you have to do is look at a flower to have a demonstration of how to meditate. You know, just the silence that exists within nature is the perfect example, in a sense, of why and how meditation helps to open the conduit for this eros, this evolutionary impulse to unfold. So,
well, that's one thing we all advocate, is to take an integral approach, which means, you know, you do everything that's working for you to help support that. So
I don't know how many people know what an integral approach is.
Well, without getting into the whole theoretical piece, is the idea that if you do a couple of practices, one won't actually detract from the other.
Yeah,
one augments the other, right?
Maybe complements,
right.
or augment is more, though. I think that's even
it.
Stronger.
So the idea is that they've tested this out. For example, if you're working out and you're distracted and your mind's going crazy, you're not aware while you're lifting the weight that you're lifting the weight. You're just sort of doing it. So if you actually meditate and then lift weights, you get better at meditating and you get better at lifting weights. Mm. They've tested it empirically. You actually lift more, you get stronger, right?
Sure.
But your meditation surprisingly gets better as well. So because you're, you know, physically, you're not distracted, right? Your body feels good, so you can sit, right? And it quiets them. It sort of has this really nice collaborative effect. If you do the same thing with your diet, if you're eating food that isn't toxic and poisonous to you, right?
Yeah.
If you, you know, so you're eating right, you're sleeping well.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation does wonders for sleep.
Yes.
A lot of people have a hard time sleeping. They don't realize they can get incredible rest in 20 minutes. Some people can get a night's, literally an 8 hours night's rest in a 20-minute meditation.
You know that's those, what, you know those frustrating dreams that people have. You know that we talk. I used to have those.
Yeah.
When I started meditating, I stopped having those.
Yeah. I haven't had a night. I was just thinking about when last I had a night where I woke up and couldn't sleep through the night, and it's literally years and years.
Yeah.
And since I started, you know, really getting into it, and yeah. So well, that's the idea. It's like it all is complementary. And so, and one big piece is the psychological piece. If you've got old stories and you know you have them, your friends are telling you, good God, what are you doing? What kind of story are you making up about? That's when you go get some an expert to go tell that story and go to unwind it, because it's going to improve all the other aspects of your life.
Yeah, you know, because we talk about conscious evolution and awakening. We talk a lot about meditation, but we, you know, and it's interesting that we don't talk as much about psychotherapy, because that's what I'm doing, you know, 30 hours a week.
Yeah, it's here's a funny story, God, you know, because it's such a Western phenomenon in some respects. I mean, our culture is designed to spin our mind around so it can control us to go consume things.
Wow.
But they, you know, the Dalai Lama was
good
asked
point.
About, you know, negative mind talk. You know, there's this whole thing about negative self-talk and improving your self-talk, right? They asked him about it. Now, he speaks pretty good. His English is good, but he had no idea what they were talking about. And the translator who translated English, they just sat and talked to each other, trying to figure it out. A couple of minutes later, they were like, oh, well, we don't have that. So essentially, they had no experiential component to be able to answer the question.
Yeah.
And they just said, why would you let your mind get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
That was what they were saying.
That's right.
You know, but we're actually trained to do that. And so this is a kind of this kind of training is unlearning in a sense.
We're supported in doing that. You know, we're encouraged to do that. Because just like what you said, it does, it's more consumption, right? More problems to fix.
Yes.
With this product or that.
Yeah. And so that's the idea of, you know, being, just dropping into this state of being and then let your life unfold from that. I posted this on my Facebook. I have to see if I remember. It was, to be is to do. Lao Tzu.
Mm-hmm.
To do is to be. Sartre. Doobie doobie do Sinatra. The idea, we emphasize, you know, that the doing comes out of the being here, because that's, you know, the idea. So it's the idea of getting to a place of emptiness or nothing, and so it's not doing nothing. It's like it's doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It does.
So you're not coming always at an agenda trying to fix something. When you drop into this empty space, and this is the kind of ground zero for the evolutionary impulse.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's where it emerges from, you know.
That's
and
exactly.
It's just, in a sense, hanging out there lets us, you know, peek into the nature of it and engage in the dance of it.
In the dance, in Hindu, they call it the dance of Leela, you know, and that's the feminine aspect of things. So this whole idea of the birth of the new divine feminine that we, you know, you talked to Gary about, goes to the question of when we were making the distinctions between masculine and feminine aspects of this moment. We did a couple of shows on that. And people want to conflate that to male and female, and then it becomes a this against that, right? But this evolutionary piece is that feminine aspect, the thing that's becoming, the thing that's evolving.
Yeah, but I think it's takes both for it to happen, you know. I mean, it's the snakes twisting, you know, the Ida and Pingala, right?
Yes.
I mean, form, you could say, but awareness is just as much of what's evolving as form is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's two aspects of one thing, and you can't split them apart.
Well, and that's why I think, you know, the subtle level practice, which I know a lot of people, what do you mean subtle level practice? That didn't have any meaning to me till a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got into that, you know, that's the that's the dance of the masculine and feminine. You know, it's an aspect of that unfolding.
Yeah.
It's an aspect of that also that union, because there's a sense that, you know, that part of what's emerging is a sense of oneness, a felt knowingness of a deep oneness, which, you know, you see within the merging of the masculine and feminine.
Yeah, and there's something that's aware of the conversation you're having about yourself, right? Mm. That's what we're speaking of in terms of your own awareness or the masculine aspect of yourself. And I'll tell you, you know, this is where people get stuck on one or the other, right?
Yes.
There's something that's, you know, emerging or imminent or something like that. There's some feminine, and they get attached to that piece. Mm. And or there's some piece of emptiness and people kind of disappear, check out, and they get attached to that. And so we're saying, hey, you know, you got to have a balance,
yes.
Right? And when you get stuck, ask around.
Yes. That's I mean, and that's the meaning of awakened life.
Yes.
You know, it's again, embodying the awareness or practicing the awareness.
Yeah, living it. It's not a state. It doesn't come and go. This is not what we're talking about. Something that feels really good for a little while.
No.
This is a place where a reference point out of which you're living your whole life.
Yeah.
And here's a great question, you know, if you get stuck. This is one that Ajahn Shanti asked. This is the big one he asked.
Yeah.
What do you know that you don't want to know? I could ask you that question right now. It's funny. It stumps people when they hear it,
yeah.
Because your ego is like the deer in the headlights when you ask somebody, what do you know that you don't want to know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because immediately they start going, what do you mean? I got confused. What is
well,
he doing, right?
And that's the definition of shadow.
Yeah.
You know, it's the shadow is the definition of it. You don't know that you don't know. You don't know, and you don't know it.
That's right.
So that question, that's very clever.
Well, this one I'm saying, there is something you know that you don't want to know.
Right.
Now, this question is one that there is something that you don't really want to cop to, essentially. Your guard says, don't look, don't go there. But you know it already. I don't know what it is for you, you know? But I know for myself, it's around compassion, because this whole thing is grounded in compassion. So if there's something or someone I don't have compassion for, I'm like, oh, that's the thing I know. That's sure. The work to do. That's where I need to go.
That's a blind spot.
It's just the thing I don't want to do is go clean it up or work it out or free it up, you know?
Sure.
And this is the one that'll get you unstuck the fastest.
This is really cool that the sun is setting literally like right at the end of our show. I'm just looking out the window here.
Well, I think this is the way to become a participant in this conscious evolution that we've been talking about.
That's exactly it. And I think that, and I love it. I think it's a great, it reminds me of the koans that we were talking about last week, but it's particularly good one. I want to give people some info. This Thursday at Bellevue Unity, we're going to have our meditation meeting. It's a good place to kind of come and meet other people, learn a practice together. It's much more effective, they found, to learn meditation in groups. So you're welcome to do that. It's free. And if you want more information on that, you can go to adamseward.com/events. Also, I did the Marie Manucherry show last Thursday, and that was a fun conversation. You could find that in her archive.
Have you posted it on your site?
What's that? No, not yet.
You should.
Yeah.
No.
I'll post a link to it.
Great.
So anyway, we love having this conversation with y'all, and we're going to be back next week talking about the same thing. You know, what is conscious evolution? How do we do it? And we look forward to having you back with
us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, Paul. And, Dad, have fun out there in Hawaii. We missed you today. We'll see you when you get back. Love you.